Let's see what James Myrtle of The Athletic thinks in his Leafs lunch debut this season. James, we're just talking about Zach Aston-Reese. He got some love from Sheldon Keefe after those couple of preseason tilts this weekend. You think he's getting a contract if they could work one out?
I do, yeah. I think that's, to be honest, I'm not really sure why he's still on a PTO. You know, everyone, the way everyone in the organization is talking about him is as if he's going to be part of the team. So maybe it just comes down to figuring out what the number's going to be and, you know, who's going to be on LTIR when the season starts and how much room they have and who's going to make the final cut. I could see the Leafs just looking for a little bit of flexibility in terms of the number, but yeah, I mean, he's going to be there. And I think that, you know, he's going to be a really good fit with someone like David Kampf if they want to just create a kind of what I would call like a nothing line, like a checking line that you can play in the defensive zone. No one should get really excited about Zach Aston-Reese putting up a whole bunch of goals or a whole bunch of points, but he's going to really work really, really hard, play well defensively, be able to eat some tough minutes, and then free up the Leaf stars to play more on the other end of the ice.
Yeah, I think that's something that Sheldon Keefe has always preached that he wanted. Like, I recall Zach Hyman, like the first year that that Keefe had the reins, he started Hyman on the third line because he wanted to have a shutdown, true shutdown line. And then ultimately, Hyman ended up moving up, and he had to kind of filter things. But something he's always wanted, and I feel like Zach Aston-Reese is kind of the perfect player to put there. And he, you know, had a chance to try and develop some chemistry with David Kampf. And I think Yarncroke is a player who also could end up going in there. Looks like today they're skating on a line together with Alex Kerfoot. But, you know, when you look at this past weekend, did anything kind of stick out to you? But or like, what do you watch for in these exhibition games?
Sort of individual performances and you know, players that are kind of on the bubble or that maybe you weren't thinking about seeing if they show anything. You know, I remember in training camps and preseason past, there have been players. Jake Gardner's one that stands out. I mean, he came in and he had only played 10 games in the AHL and he was really a college player. He was at the rookie tournament and then he just had such a great training camp and was so good in preseason. It's like, boy, this kid's going to make the team. And he did. And, you know, he was an NHLer from then on. So you're really looking for players who step up and stand out. And I mean, Engvall's another one. I can't remember exactly what year it was. I want to say 3 years ago, Engvall was a guy who had just come over from Sweden, had played a little bit with the Marlies in the playoffs. But he was a seventh round pick. And then you just watched him in camp. It's like, this guy's so big and so fast. And he was making such an impact. It's like, this guy's an NHL player. And of course that's what he's turned out to be. So that's what I'm looking for. First two games, I'm trying to think of, you know, honestly, I think, I mean, obviously Yarncroke looked really good.
Yeah.
Samsonov looked really good. You know, it's 40 games and it's preseason and whatever, but with the way Samsonov played, it's like, oh, you know, maybe he's going to challenge more for the number one role than we think. You know, maybe that's going to be a bit more of a battle than the way we were talking about it coming into the year. And the other guy, you know, Dennis Malgin. I mean, I know he's not a popular figure among Leafs fans because of that trade, but they're certainly giving him every opportunity with really good players. And at least in preseason, he looked really skilled. And it'll be pretty interesting to see if he makes the team.
That's James Myrtle of The Athletic on the phone right now. You mentioned that goaltending battle that's happening right now. But some battles happening on the blue line with those couple of injuries and the one holdout that's happening. And then we know there's huge battles happening in the bottom six for this team. What's the most intriguing camp battle in your mind?
I mean, what they do on defense without Liljegren and Sandin right now and Muzzin ailing is, you know, I don't think we talked about how they had too many defensemen a lot of the offseason and how someone would get traded. And then all of a sudden you subtract three of the top, I guess the top seven, you might want to call it. And all of a sudden they look a bit thin and Jordy Benn's skating with Morgan Rielly. And it's like, boy, I don't know about that. So That's one of the things I'm watching is what exactly do they do? Like, let's say Sandin doesn't sign by the start of the season and Liljegren is on LTIR and misses the first month of the season. That's a big time opportunity for Victor Mete and Jordy Benn that I didn't know necessarily that they were going to get. You know, and then in the bottom six, part of what I'm looking for is, you know, let's say they do go that route where they have this purely checking line that's not counted on for offense. I think they've got enough good forwards, and Sheldon Keefe has kind of alluded to this. I think they've got enough good forwards to create another, whether you want to call it a third line or a fourth line, that's going to have some skill on it. And I could see potentially that Kerfoot is centering that third or that fourth line, and maybe you play him with someone like Robertson, maybe you play him with someone like Yarncroke, And that can be a unit that gives you a lot more than the Leafs' fourth line did last year. And all of a sudden, you've got more balance. You're not going to have a line where, Wayne Simmonds is playing 5 or 6 minutes a game last year. You're going to have some really good players on that line. And it can be a really specialized usage where if there's a defensive zone draw, the camp line's going out there. But if it's an offensive zone draw or a neutral zone draw, you have Kerfoot with a couple of talented NHL players, and they're trying to produce offense and put pressure on the other team. And I think that that's exciting if you're a Leafs fan, because they really didn't have that option most of last year.
Where are you at with Jake Muzzin right now, James? You just touched on that back soreness that he has right now. He skated by himself today. We know he had a great postseason, but last year was tough for him, and he's set to shoulder some big minutes again this year.
Yeah, what I do know is that the organization believes in him, and that's why he's back. And I remember, coming out of the playoffs, looking at their roster and looking what they had and looking at their cap situation, I thought one of the things they could do would be to find a new home for Jake Muzzin at $5.6 million. That would free up some money for them to be active in the free agency market with a forward who could make an impact. But that was quickly shot down by the team, and they said, basically, he's not going anywhere. And I think part of it is what you mentioned, that he did play so well in the playoffs. He came back from injury. He was a really key figure and played big minutes against Tampa in that series. And the Leafs just feel like this is such a big season for the organization that they can't, it's really win now mode, and they can't afford to subtract a guy that has the level of experience that he has. So, maybe there's going to be some load management with him. Maybe his minutes are going to be lower than they've been in the past. Maybe he's going to sit some games as they mix in some of the other defensemen, certainly when Liljegren gets back and Sandin gets healthy. But they very much view him as part of this season. And the other thing, too, is he has a no-movement clause, so it would have been really tricky to move on from him anyway. But that being said, if he is hurt, if he does struggle the way he did for long stretches last year, this could be Jake Muzzin's last year with the organization, even though he has one more year on his contract. I could see if it's a bit of a struggle that they move on from him next offseason.
We're chatting with James Myrtle of The Athletic. We'll stick with the blue line here, and obviously the big elephant in the room at Leafs training camp is the fact that Rasmus Sandin is not there. I'm curious, at what price point do you think gets this deal done, and how you view this whole situation?
I can see why it's a frustrating situation for both sides, to be honest with you. Sandin feels like he wants there to be an opportunity for him, especially if he's signing for not a lot of money. But from the Leafs' perspective, these defensemen on their second contract, where they've have fewer than 100 NHL games played, there's not a lot of wiggle room to negotiate. I mean, you look at the contracts, and I've looked at all the comparables, and defensemen like Sandin, when they sign a one-year deal, they generally get between $800,000 and $1 million. It's hard to find any contracts that are more than that. And when he signs for 2 years, really the Sean Durzi contract that he got in LA for 1.7 over 2 years, that's the most that I've seen on a two-year deal. So, at this point, if they're going to sign a one- or a two-year contract, there can't be a lot of disagreement here. There's just not a lot of difference between what the low end and the high end would be. So I think at some point, cooler heads have to prevail, and they just have to sign a contract, even if it is just a one-year deal or a two-year deal. And it's pretty interesting, though, that Sandin's camp has dug in to the extent they have, because they were offered the same contract as Timothy Liljegren. If you look at the numbers, you look at the minutes they've played, you look at pretty much everything. I mean, they're very comparable young defensemen. And for Sandin to miss the start of training camp over what at the end of the day is going to amount to, maybe $200,000, $250,000 a year, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Would you be worried about, fracturing the relationship there with this whole situation? Not only, with, Leaf fans who are clamoring to get Sandin back into the fold, but also Sandin's camp and Kyle Dubas.
Well, I think there's already been a little bit of that that's been going on. I think that there's been some disagreement over the opportunities that he's gotten and hasn't gotten, and the fact that he hasn't played a lot of games. The fact that during the pandemic he wasn't able to play over in Europe, I think, is one thing that that I believe that he wanted to do that the Leafs didn't want him to do. And then he ended up coming over, getting hurt, hardly playing that season. He was down with the Marlies for a bunch, so he's only making an AHL salary for long stretches. There's been some friction there, and I think that this is going to exacerbate that. But at the end of the day, let's say they get a two-year deal done today or tomorrow, and he's back in camp and he plays well and he takes advantage of the fact that Liljegren and Muzzin are out. this will all be old news pretty quickly, but they do need to come to that agreement here pretty quickly, because once they get into the season, once they get to October 12th, all of a sudden getting a contract done becomes a lot more complicated, because you have to prorate the salary, the cap it goes up. It can get really, really tough when you get into that situation the way that Nylander was a few years ago.
Yeah, and we'll have a close eye on that situation as it continues to unfold. Adam Gaudette got a look with JT and Marner over the weekend and then ended up getting injured. Shoulder injury announced this morning. How much does that hurt his chances in your eyes?
And probably a bit, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that was very much on the bubble. The Leafs have so many forwards that are in the NHL. Yeah, there's a lot of guys. And if, you know, one of the wild cards is Engvall ready to start the season? And if he is, there's not really a lot of spots for the Malgins. And, you know, I do think that Aston Reese is going to be on the team. So, you know, and then you look at there's Nick Robertson and Joey Anderson and Kyle Clifford and Wayne Simmonds could end up on waivers. And like there's six guys for one or two spots. So Adam Gaudette was really one of those players that Sheldon Keefe sounded excited about and thinks that potentially he could be someone that could pop on offense. He had that, I think he had 20 goals for Vancouver. Was that 3-4 years ago? 33 points, something like that?
12 and 33.
Okay, 12 is not as impressive as 20, but maybe it was 20 assists that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But anyway, like and that was only in, I think he had only played 50-some games. So, you know, he has produced in the NHL before, but then he's gone back to being kind of a tweener. He's played on some not very good teams and hasn't been able to make an impact. You know, he's one of those guys, it's kind of maybe a little bit like Jimmy Vesey was a couple years ago. He's got to come in and show that he's an NHL player, because, you know, what's on the line for him is that he could very much end up in the AHL, or if he clears waivers, or, you know, maybe he ends up bouncing around again on waivers. You know, he's one of those tweener guys that this is a big year for him to establish what he is. And when you get hurt in training camp, it can be really tough, because someone else is going to all of a sudden slot into that plum role that Sheldon Keefe's been using him in, and maybe they show something and he doesn't get back in that spot again.
Yeah, absolutely. With James Myrtle of The Athletic, and, you know, one of those guys who maybe will be looking to take a bit of an opportunity if Adam Gaudette's going to be out, maybe get a couple more minutes out there with some top six players, is Nick Robertson. And, you know, this is somebody who came in with so much expectation placed on him a couple of years ago coming into the organization. What do you think Sheldon Keefe needs to see from him to try and earn himself a roster spot over the next couple of weeks?
Just that he can make a difference, I think, offensively. You know, I think that's... He had a point of game in the AHL last year. He's had a lot of injuries. I think I've seen some commentary on social media where, you know, Leafs fans and fans of other teams are saying, you know, that this guy's a bust and whatever. And it doesn't square with me, because he turned 21. What was it?
Two weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, like 2 weeks. Yeah, it was on the 11th. So, you know, like he's not very old. And if you're one of the demarcation lines for me for a young player is, if you can put up a point a game by the time you're 20 years old in the AHL, you're an NHL player. There are very few players that have a point a game in the AHL at 20 that don't make the NHL as a consistent contributor. So he's going to be an NHL player. Whether he's going to be a second line, a third line, or a fourth line guy, I don't think we know yet. But even if he doesn't make it this year because of how crowded the forward group is, like I was talking about, the good news with him is that he doesn't require waivers to go up and down. As soon as someone gets hurt, he can be the first call-up. I think he's probably going to bounce back and forth. I could see him playing 35 games for the Marlies and 35 games for the Leafs this season. And, you know, it's an important year for him to take the next step and to level up from where he was last year. But I don't think there's anything wrong with his trajectory at all right now.
I don't either. And if that is the case, he's yo-yoing up and down. As long as he stays healthy, I think that's the main thing that people want to see well, that's the main thing I know that he does. We spoke to him last week, said he just wants to stay healthy and have a good year. Whether if it's with the Leafs or the Marlies, I think that health is going to be a big factor in his season. James, before I let you go, I'm not sure if you heard, but our good friend of the show, friend of yours, friend in the media, Terry Koshin, apparently grew himself quite the mustache. Have you got a look at this thing live and in person?
Where did I see Terry? They had the prospect skate before the prospect tournament in Traverse City. They had a skate out at the Ford Performance Center, and he was there. I didn't get a close look at it, but that's definitely a new... Terry's always... He's got the flow going with the long hair, and he always rocks that really well. I know Terry and I like some of the same music, so he kind of goes for the hard rock, heavy metal aesthetic, and the mustache is a new addition, and that was pretty funny that got spotlighted there by Matthews. So
I've never seen him so excited about anything in my life than seeing Terry Koch's mustache.
You know what's going to happen is all the media guys are going to start showing up with mustaches.
Well, that's what I was going to say. 100%. I was going to say, James, you're going to grow yourself out a little duster or something when you show up to Leafs?
No, I have a beard, but just a mustache would look terrible on me. So I don't think that's going to be happening.
You and I both. I don't think I'll be shaving off the... My face looks like I'm 12 years old if it's fully shaved. So I'm with you, but I do believe that... I want to see Mark Masters rock a stash really badly. Just a dirty old mustache.
I don't think he could pull that off. I don't think Matthews would be complimenting that mustache if it existed.
As long as the shoes are polished up, right? Just got to make sure those are polished.
Well, he does.
Oh, yeah. I know he does. I know he does. All right, James. Really appreciate taking the time, pal. We'll chat again down the road.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. There he goes. James Myrtle of The Athletic.